This is VOA News via remote. I'm Marissa Melton. A Pentagon spokesman said Sunday that the United States is watching with deep concern as Taliban insurgents take control of more territory in Afghanistan as American forces leave under President Joe Biden's withdrawal orders. Over nearly two decades, the U.S. has supplied Afghanistan with billions of dollars in weaponry to defend itself. But with Biden pulling U.S. troops out of the country by August 31st, control of the country is increasingly uncertain. Taliban insurgents say they already control 85% of the country. That's a contested claim. But the spokesman, John Kirby, did not dispute a Fox News assessment that 13 million Afghans live under Taliban control. 10 million are assessed to have lived under Afghan government rule and 9 million in contested regions. The U.S. first invaded the country in 2001 to overrun bases where al-Qaeda terrorists trained to launch the September 11th attacks on the United States that killed nearly 3,000 people. Even with the U.S. troop withdrawal, Kirby said American commanders would be able to advise Afghan forces from bases in other countries. But U.S. and NATO forces have mostly left Afghanistan already, and all will be gone by the end of August. President Biden last week staunchly defended the U.S. troop withdrawal, even in the face of the advances by the Taliban. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is expected to urge caution Monday if he confirms plans to remove nearly all remaining COVID-19 restrictions in England on July 19th, this despite a surge in the number of cases. Earlier this week, Johnson set out proposals to eliminate rules on mask wearing and social contact. He will announce his final decision at a news conference on Monday. On Sunday, however, he released a statement urging caution, saying the pandemic is not yet over. VOA News. The U.S. on Sunday dispatched a technical team to Haiti to assess its security and other needs in the aftermath of the assassination last week of President Jovenel Moise. It was not immediately clear which U.S. agencies were involved, but the team plans to report to President Joe Biden when it returns. The United States earlier rejected Haiti's request for troops to quell sporadic violence linked to the presidential assassination early Wednesday. The Haitian president was shot to death at his home in the Haitian capital of Port-au-Prince. Haiti police said two Americans and 26 Colombians, some of whom were former Colombian soldiers, took part in the attack, with some of the Colombian suspects still on the run. A Biden administration official said the United States will hear the report and also consult with its regional partners and the United Nations before deciding on any further steps to help Haiti. Protests against the jailing of former South African President Jacob Zuma spread from his hometown to the country's main economic hub of Johannesburg on Sunday. Shops in Johannesburg were looted overnight and a section of the major M2 highway was closed as some protests turned violent. Police say 62 people have been arrested in connection with riots since Zuma was imprisoned last Wednesday. He's serving a 15-month sentence for contempt of court after he failed to testify while being investigated for corruption during his term as president from 2009 to 2018. Protests began immediately following his arrest last week. On Sunday, President Cyril Ramaphosa called for calm and urged protesters to demonstrate peacefully. Myanmar is experiencing a surge in COVID-19 cases, which has led to a shortage of desperately needed oxygen supplies. Reports say since the military overthrow of the democratically elected government on February 1st, people have been reluctant to go to military hospitals for treatment for COVID-19. A number of medical professionals have joined the country's civil disobedience movement since the coup, and they've been urging people not to entrust their medical care to the military government. Bulgaria's parliamentary elections failed to produce a clear winner on Sunday. Exit polls showed with the new anti-elite party, There Is Such a People, or ITN, narrowly ahead of the center-right GERB party of former Prime Minister Boyko Borisov. Bulgaria's second election since April reflects deep divisions in the European Union's country. Even if official results confirm GERB as the largest party, its chances of forging a ruling coalition are slim, according to political observers. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. You're listening to VOA News.